Davis, Phil Henry Show, and philhenryshow.com presents Mr. Phil Henry.
Mr. Phil Henry, been written up in major newspapers like the New York Bugle.
Yeah, New York Bugle, and it was filled up. The New York Bugle, man, the New York Times. Come on, give me a break here. The New York Times. Well, there was the New York Bugle at one time. And go ahead, Robert. Yeah, Phil Henry. And now here's Phil Henry. That's fantastic. That was a real ass kicker there.
Phil, what do you want us to do? To get down on our hands and knees and go, ooh-boo, ooh-boo? You know.
Margaret, that's not ladylike.
Well, sometimes I've got to spell it out.
All right, no, I'm not asking for any kind of obsequious behavior. And before you ask me, bud, that means to be overly reverential, you know?
What's reverential?
Yeah. It's to be overly kissing ass, okay? That's what obsequious means.
Oh, that's what it means. I always thought obsequious was something about having to do with, like, something squeaking and squishing through.
Yeah, I thought that was it, too. I thought it was about sneaking and squeezing your way into something.
No, not at all. Just because the word sounds that way.
Well, that's a good way, though, to figure out what a word means, bud. For instance, bud, what does this word mean? Lugubrious.
I know.
Phil, please, bud, what does lugubrious mean?
Well, it just oily and like a loogie.
Exactly. You've loogied on someone.
No, it doesn't mean that.
What does it mean then, genius?
Lugubrious means mournful and slow and solemn.
Are you sure about that? No, I'll look it up right now.
Go ahead and look it up.
Well, what do you mean that? Why would a word like lugubrious mean that? Lugubrious sounds like lugub, you know, like... No, excuse me.
God, Ms. Gray.
Jesus H.
Well, you know something? I grew up with brothers, all right?
Were you about to hawk one up?
If you don't, excuse me. Bingo.
God damn. You know, that's really disgusting.
Sorry. Well, what do you want me to do?
Go get a towel. So welcome to the... That was great, Margaret.
Oh, Phil. Making a big deal out of nothing. I'm very much a lady, so don't...
You know...
What are you trying to say? No, I'm not.
We got to do hawk it up and everything.
What did you say?
Why are you hawking one up if you're very much a lady?
Because I'm demonstrating something to you mentally deficient... Give me the towel.
Anyway, welcome to the show. There's a big news story, as you probably heard. The wrestler known as Hulk Hogan, in real life, his name is what, Robert? What is that?
Terry Bollea.
Terry Bollea?
Yeah, that's the disease.
No, that's not the disease. Ebola is the disease.
Oh, whoa, sorry.
Anyway, Terry Bollea, otherwise known as Hulk Hogan, has won a lawsuit against Gawker for $115 million fish in the dish. Okay?
Oh, God, that's a big one, isn't it?
Yeah.
I didn't ask. Why'd you say yeah?
Well, you said that's a big one.
Come on, wait a minute. Ah!
Fucking prick.
Hey, watch the language.
I'm over here cleaning up loogie, all right?
Yeah, because you're the one that's... Sorry, folks. Go ahead and tell me all about it, Robert.
What do you want to say?
I'll take it from here. So,
Phil, the show's out of control and we're not even... Jesus.
So, this guy, Terry Bollea, otherwise known as Hulk Hogan...
Well, I see this guy.
Bud...
Sorry, Dad.
Sorry, you're right. No, I'm gonna hurt somebody, seriously.
Well, Phil...
I'm gonna hurt somebody. Just clean it up.
No, just...
You
want us to leave?
No, don't leave. Just shut up, bud. Terry Bollea. Yeah, that's right. Some guy known as Hulk Hogan.
But everybody knows... Man, bud, just shut up.
Terry Bollea,
And no, that's not the disease. I just went because Bud thought he was talking about Bollea disease.
Yeah, the disease, Bud, is called Ebola, as if you didn't know that.
I seriously did not know. I mean, I do, but then I didn't. I was confused.
All right,
God, he's looking at me like...
Listen, you looking at him like you're kind of a serial murderer and everything with the eyeballs going dark.
Yeah, your eyes went dead for a moment.
Well, I'm starting to feel like I want to go ahead and kill somebody and maybe, you know, put them into a suitcase and all that murderous stuff.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's right, Margaret.
All right, I'm sorry. When you guys said hawk it up...
No, you're the one that thought lugubrious meant loogie or whatever. So we're talking here...
Yeah, get me up to speed, will you?
Yeah. We're talking here about that $115 million lawsuit.
All right, now this is right up my alley because, as you know, Phil, I work in the print press... And I've also done some online blogging, as well as reporting for different websites. I can tell you that there is a thing called In the Public Interest.
Yeah, see you.
Excuse me.
Bud, don't butt in. Sorry.
In
the public interest.
Right, in the public interest, which means, is it newsworthy? Is it newsworthy?
Is it newsworthy?
Yeah.
No, I didn't say newsworthy. I said, is it newsworthy? You see?
Margaret, yeah, thank you very much for the pronunciation lesson. We got it. So, is this newsworthy?
I don't know. I think it's newsworthy. Newsworthy.
Newsworthy?
Newsworthy from the standpoint of this film. If Hulk Hogan influences young people, if Hulk Hogan is held up as an example of some kind of a moral, the apex.
That about being the blob end?
Yeah, the blob end.
What do you mean the blob end?
The low end? Okay, Margaret, you're the one that was hawking it up here.
Apex means the highest point.
All right. Yeah, well, I would have told him that, and I'm afraid if I say anything, Phil's going to clock me.
I'm not going to hit anybody, okay?
Yeah, you said you were going to.
No.
Anyway, as I was saying, one would think that, that Hulk Hogan is a great example of that, of a good example to young people. However, when you find out that the man is a degenerate, that he's a swine and a slob and a scumbag...
All right, so I guess what the point here is...
Yeah, well, the point is, yes, that naturally one would think that you want to know about Hulk Hogan's behaviors because it does affect the young people.
So that's why they would say it was newsworthy.
That's why they would say it was newsworthy, yeah.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it seems like an invasion of privacy. The guy that we have on today, this is a... He's a football player, right?
Yeah, this is a football player, Terry Meckleberg. And Terry was actually heard on our show yesterday. I think he's doing a football camp. And he was involved in a similar thing. There is a... No, it's not Terry. Is it Mark Henshaw?
Yeah, Mark Henshaw, from the Trump supporter.
Why did we have Terry Meckleberg?
I don't know, man. I think you thought you got him confused. He's got a promo for that football camp.
All right, no, it's Mark Henshaw, excuse me, who's going to be on the show today. Because a similar thing happened to him, and it happened within the last 48 hours. Jerry Bonbay, or what is this guy's name?
I gotta look the guy's name up, but...
I wish we really had a better,
Jerry Bonron.
Yeah, Jerry Bonron, I know. Or Jake Bonron.
Yeah, Jake Bonron. He's the public affairs director of the press secretary of the... He's the press relations of the press secretary.
Yeah, of Mr. Henshaw's organization.
What is Mr. Henshaw's organization?
Well, isn't he a Trump supporter?
Yeah, but it's not an official... No, it's not anything official. It's just the Donald Citizens for Donald Trump or something like that out of Birmingham. What happened was this guy, Bonron, had a videotape going in his home there in Birmingham and did indeed, as far as we understand, and Robert, you have most of the detail.
Yeah, Bonron came in and reviewed a videotape. And Bonron came in and confronted Mr. Henshaw and his wife, Eileen. That's all I know.
All right, well, that ought to be interesting. We got that coming up next here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. And before I say anything, we'll get to that later. We have a very interesting little promotion, little opportunity for you guys to win yourselves a swag bag, man. So that'll be real cool. Let's go to traffic now. Bob Bacon is up in the air, Bob.
I feel like I'm going to go up there and see on the 15 freeway, if you go by the 8th, and the 8th and 12 is alley-oop is crawling all over that thing, so you got to come down there. I'll tell you what, if you're leaving early this morning, get up to the Isle of Rodgers freeway, and John is out to and St. Thomas is out to cream. If you've got cream in your coffee, you'd like a little bit of cream in your coffee, you like that, the mulatto gun, go out with the black girl and then brown sugar. Let's go out with the Sky Boy.
Hey, Bob, I'm going to go up there and run down the car. Let's see what comes in. And see what comes in, and can you get run down one? And over here, we got a 50-mile freeway. We're going to Boston. Let's go down to Boyd. Sky Baby 310. Da-da-da-da-da-da. All about the go-go-go-ga-da. Ha-da-ha-da-ba-da-wa. If you look at the water. Ah-da-da-da-da-da-ba-da-da.
Damn it, Lukey. Jesus, you messed on yourself.
world-famous Phil Henry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I'm General Galen Shaw.
And I'm Margaret Gray.
And we'll be right back.
Letter openers, all kinds of things, bottle openers, stuff that falls out of drawers. Are you sick and tired of that? Hello, everyone. Jim Keachum for Jim Keachum's Grab 'Em. This is a device that will make sure you don't lose anything ever again. Stuff dropping out of floors, things coming out of your pockets, stuff falling out of your nose. Let's face it. With Jim Keachum's Grab It, you can grab it, sack it, squeeze it, and love it. And you'll never lose it again. Look at this. A handy little grab it. It grabs the device, pulls it in, and sucks it. Or over here. You see this? It happens all the time.
Shoot!
But not with Jim Keachum's Grab It. Just grab it and lynch on it. You can also pull it up, straighten it, taut, give it the rack, or curly Q. Jim Meacham's Grab It, available now at
Curfew's Department Store.
Jim Meacham's Grab It. Hey, everybody, this is Wes Hurlford and Westerners, and that's that we've changed the name of our band to Wes Hurlford and Hurlfers. That's right, Wes Hurlford and the Hurlfers are now coming to your town, not Wes Hurlford and Westerners. That's another band entirely, and to be perfectly honest with you, it was a brother-in-law. He owned the right to the name. I didn't know that at the time, and he decided he'd take it out on the road. But he ain't Wes Hurlford, I am, let me tell you that. Wes Hurlford and the Hurlers are going to be coming to your town. I'm sorry, Wes Hurlford and the Hurlfers are going to be coming to your town very, very soon. Write a letter to our fan club and say we want Wes Hurlford and the Hurlfers, not Wes Hurlford and Westerners, because they are a fraud. They are imposters. They are the brother-in-law of Wes Hurlford. We want nothing to do with them. We want nothing to do with them. Wes Hurlford of the Hurlfers coming to your town. Write to Wes Hurlford of the Hurlfers fan club. Wes Hurlford of the Hurlfers fan club. On Boogity Records and Tapes. What are you yelling about? I'm sorry, my penis was caught in a zipper. Well, that's a TMI. Phil Henry Show. Who's that, bud?
That's Ace Frehley.
Ace Frehley, the guy used to be all Kiss.
And it's Ace doing a doing White Room, man. Sweet.
Sweet, sweet.
All right. As you know, we've got into a little bit. And this whole Gawker thing having to do with this guy, you know, Hulk Hogan, and it also involves our good friend Bubba the Love Sponge.
Well, that, yes, that's the part that I think is rather tragic, that Bubba has been involved in this. And I don't think that, I don't think it does anyone any good, to be honest with you. It's very private stuff.
Well, here's the thing. Mr. Hogan or Mr. Bollea.
Technically, it's Mr. Bollea.
I know that, bud, but so people know who the hell it is we're talking about.
Well, you're talking about this guy, Bollea, right? I'm sorry.
Bollea.
Yeah, is that it?
We're talking about Hulk Hogan. It's his,
That's his real name.
Yes.
All right. So what we're doing is we're talking about this guy, and he was videotaped by, I don't know who, but the tape got over to Gawker. And Gawker posted it, and Gawker got sued, and Mr. Hogan slash Bollea won the lawsuit.
Yes, a significant amount of money, $115 plus, $115 million.
That'd be $115, wouldn't it?
Yes, that'd be a real riot.
Jesus, come on, bud.
But also was awarded an extra $15 million by the jury.
Oh, man. So they added on to the punitive damages.
Yes. And this, if Gawker is forced to pay this and they don't win on appeal, it will put Gawker out of business, and I don't need to tell you what that means. That will reverberate across the internet in terms of these privacy issues.
Well, this has been a big story for those very reasons. Just how far can you go? How far can you go to claim public interest, like watching Hulk Hogan have sex with the wife of his best friend?
Was this woman still the guy's wife?
I don't know. I don't want to comment. I haven't read the story that closely.
Well, you do know, Mr. Whoever, General.
Do you know Mr. Love Sponge? Or
is that Mr. Love Sponge, okay?
What's the guy's name?
His name's... Don't worry about it, bud. It's Bubba.
Well, you know this guy.
We know him, and he's a great guy. Always been a big, big friend of our show. And I love Bubba and the Bubba Army. And this is a very personal thing, man. I have not followed it that closely because I'm not really the kind of guy that revels in other people's misery. But we find out a similar situation because we do have this guy Henshaw, right?
Yeah, Mark Henshaw, just so you know, Mr. Sanders, you probably do know. Mr. Henshaw is a man. He's now in Las Vegas. He's taking some time off to sort of calm down, but he left town yesterday. Alan, help him on the newsmaker line.
All right, Mark Henshaw is with us. Mark is with, he's a supporter of Donald Trump. And this has had nothing to do with Donald Trump. This has to do with the press agent or the press secretary for your organization, fans of Donald Trump. Is that it?
Yes, that is correct, Mr. Henry. Fans of Donald Trump. An organization that I had put together. And we're very put out, and I feel I want your audience to know that I feel outraged. I feel as if I'm the one that had been taken, and I have been taken advantage of, as well as Mr. Bonron, Mrs. Bonron.
Do you admit that you were having sex with her?
I admit to only one thing, that my photograph was taken. A videotape was being taken, and this has affected...
Well, that's not the question, Mr. Bonron. The Bonron question...
No, it's not the Bonron
question. I'm sorry. The question...
Can I finish my statement, Mr. Henry?
Wait a minute. Did you have a statement you want to make?
That's one that I wrote out, yes, sir.
Now, people should know, you're in Las Vegas right now?
I am in Las Vegas, yes, sir.
Now, what are you doing there?
Well, I'm relaxing. I'm trying to unwind. This was a shock to me. Finding out on the heels of this story out of Tampa, Florida, that Mr. Bollea was awarded this money.
But is this some kind of an opportunistic thing on your part?
No, sir, it's not. This just happened to me in the last 48 hours. I had no idea, no idea at all, that I was being videotaped by Jake Bonron. Jake Bonron, who is a press secretary.
I know who he is, okay? So my question is, you got no problem with the audience listening in on the details of this while you are there in Las Vegas?
I'm here in Las Vegas to get away from a harrying press in Birmingham, Alabama, and I will give you the interview. But I do not, I will not admit, and I can assure you, this had nothing to do with me countenancing any kind of extra publicity for myself.
But Mr. Henshaw, you have to answer the question, though. Were you having sex with this man's wife?
I won't answer. I will tell you that I'm not.
That's the question. Were you having sex with the guy's wife?
Well, if there's a videotape, and he says I'm on the videotape, then I suppose I'm on it. But there's a bigger question here, Mr. Henry.
Then you suppose you're on it. Even if you were there, you're not quite sure.
I'm sure that whatever the videotape shows, I don't think that it would lie. But there's a bigger question.
All right, so you do admit it.
No, I don't admit anything.
Let the man... What's the bigger question?
The bigger question is, if he is claiming that after he walked into the bedroom and told his wife, and he says, told me, that there he was, staring at them, I do not remember any of that. There was nothing like that said to me. And Mr. Bonron claims in this allegation that was filed in court that even knowing that he was standing in the room staring at myself and his wife, that's what he claims, that I continued my activities, shall we say, sexual activities, and ignored him. I will tell you now, I was not aware that he was in the room.
Well, was his wife aware of that?
To the extent that... I was with a woman by the name of Eileen Bonron.
All right, look, let's stipulate. We have to stipulate that you were in that room having sex with her.
I will not stipulate to that. I will tell you that in the event I was in a bedroom with a woman by the name of Eileen Bonron, and that Jake Bonron walked into the room, I will tell you, to the extent that that may or may not be true, I wasn't aware that he was there at all.
Was to the extent she was in the room, was she aware of it?
To the extent she was in the room, yes, she was.
All right, so she knew that he was standing there and you didn't?
No, I did not.
Well, how is that possible?
Yeah.
It's very possible, she said, and I'm looking in the file in the paper, she said she looked up and saw him. Now, I didn't see anything.
I realize that.
Well, this is starting to get graphic.
Unfortunately, if he's going to charge me in open court with having sex with his wife, I need to defend myself.
All right, so you say she looked up.
She looked up and saw him standing there. And apparently he said, well, with a question mark, and was tapping his foot, and his arms were folded across his chest. Eileen Bonron, to the extent that she was there, saw this. I did not.
When did you become aware, to the extent that you were there, that Mr. Bonron was standing there?
I became aware when he reached back and tapped me on the head.
She reached back, God Almighty.
Oh, yeah. Now I understand.
All right, so you were the position that you were in.
The position I was in, yeah.
Well, now, let's not get too graphic with this.
All right, I understand you now, Henshaw. So this guy, Bonron, is standing there tapping his toe on the carpet.
Yeah, tapping his foot. Well, that kind of thing. I didn't hit anything. And now I feel, to the extent I was there, I feel a finger tapping me on the head. And I looked up from, or I should say I looked around from what I was doing.
All right, I understand.
Now you understand? All right, and I tried to tell Mr. Bonron that. And he got further infuriated. And I thought that thing pissed me off, just lickety-split.
Well, you got to understand, a guy's going to be pissed off if you dare all... Lapping it.
Would you watch the lapping it? But I'm going to kick your ass.
Sorry.
Watch it out.
Yeah, watch it out and wash it out, boy.
Sorry, sir, but I mean, you know.
Let's just put it this way. That you were engaged, to the extent you were engaged in that activity, is no excuse that you didn't hear Mr. Bonron saying, well...
Well, he's Mr. Bonron claimed, to the extent that I was there, that my his wife looked up and saw him, that I had, my view was obstructed. The court did ask me, and I don't,
Well, we understand.
Yeah, all right.
Well, unfortunately, here are the court papers.
The court said my view was obstructed, and...
We know what, I think I know what obstructed your view.
Can you keep it clean?
A thigh obstructed my view.
A thigh. One thigh or two?
No, well, one thigh. Because the other thigh was...
All right. Yeah, we got it. So...
So you get the picture now, huh? Do you understand? Finally? Because...
Well, I know you're very emotional, Mr. Henshaw.
I'm very emotional. I've tried my very best to help Mr. Donald Trump in his... Yeah, on his road to the presidency. And now I'm caught there in Bonron's house. Man, I never thought this would happen to me.
Well, look, Mark, let's talk about this. It's very coincidental, very interesting that this happens to you in the same time frame that this whole thing goes on with this guy, Terry Ebola, whatever the hell.
I believe the man's name.
It's Bullia, General, okay?
All right, Phil. You know, I don't follow the WW, whatever it's called.
WWW.
Not the W.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we were talking about the internet. WWE.
Yes, that's right, the WWE. I don't follow it either. I'm very much in, well, I did. In fact, I was a member of the Hulk Hogan fan club, which is the irony of it.
You mean the irony of it?
Yeah, that's right. What did I say?
You said irony.
You know what? I was reading about irony and the nuclear test ban treaty or whatever we've got. But I can tell you...
Is this some kind of a comedy bit? Because I don't find this funny at all.
I'm not... No, ma'am.
All right, then let's stick to the straight information here and not make jokes about irony, which I don't find funny at all. There is a woman involved. A woman's honor is involved. A videotape of that woman that was apparently created by her husband.
Well, that's the allegation.
All right, so he obviously had some suspicion that his wife was fooling around on him.
That's the allegation. To the extent it was me... I would never have ignored Mr. Bonron's entreaties to stop my activity and stand up and like a man. And he said, are you going to stand up like a man? And when I finally did recognize that it was Jake Bonron, I did. I got out of the bed. I at first thought that I would cover myself, but I realized the man had the right to confront me. Me, the man, that he found in bed with his wife. So I stood there. With not a stitch of clothing on, and he stood there with a Polaroid.
And he stood there with a camera.
That's right, and he did not take any pictures. His hand was shaking. He was very angry, and he wanted to raise the Polaroid to his eye and snap off a few. In fact, he said he was tempted to have his wife and me, and I say this to the extent that I was there, continue with our sexual activity, and he wanted to get some Polaroid shots. And send him off to some...
I'm sorry, we didn't hear that?
It's a...
They wanted to send it off to who?
He wanted to send it off to Beaver Hunt.
I don't know what that is, sir.
It's a amateur.
Oh, it's an amateur picture contest in one of the major Beeve magazines.
Yeah.
What is a Beeve magazine?
Margaret, we're talking about a porn magazine.
Oh. Yeah, I forgive me, ma'am. So.
I didn't even know they still had Beeve. I mean,
yeah, well, that's really too bad. That's a tough break, Henshaw. A real tough break. I'm sure a lot of men have been in your position. But you've got to answer for your wrongs in this world.
I am perfectly willing to answer for my wrongs in this world. But I don't like the idea of I'm being told that I ignored this man's entreaties. He said he stood there with his arms folded, tapping his toe, looking at his watch. He said, as I continued my terrier-like, he called it right here in the papers, terrier-like burrowing into his...
Oh, God, that's really...
Well... I don't know what he's talking about at all.
No, you totally categorically deny this.
I don't deny it. I do not I do not acknowledge it, but I do not deny it. I'm simply saying to the extent that I was there, and that's my $20 bill, Mac. Hey, you, that's my $20 bill. I'll simply say that I was there, to the extent I was there, that had I known he was standing there, then I would have pushed her off of me.
Yeah. Well, it sounds to me like, now this will be very interesting because you know what happened? The court ruled in favor of the plaintiff, Mr. Belia, who was having sex with this guy's wife. Now,
you say this guy, this is a man you know, right?
We do. Bubba the Love Sponge.
What's the man's name?
Bubba the Love Sponge.
I wouldn't know. I've been so involved in this campaign.
Well, would you consider suing if it ever came down to it?
Well, I don't know if it doesn't have to appear in a newspaper magazine.
Yeah, I think it does, Phil, because that's where you get into the whole slander and invasion of privacy thing.
Well, it's an invasion of my privacy to the extent I was there.
How do you figure that?
Because I was... there isn't too many things more private, Mr. Henry, than to have your face parked where mine was and have a guy say, hey, hi, it's me, and the wife is looking at him and the whole world. In fact, there was a dog and a cat in the room and both of them sat at attention. I don't know if you've ever seen a cat will just sit down.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, well, don't get mad at me.
When you said sat at attention, you're saying that they were attentive to the...
Yeah, the dog and cat both stopped what they were doing. I think they were playing with a piece of rawhide or some kind of thing. And when he walked into the room, they sat there staring at him. And so he was being paid attention to by the cat and dog and by his wife, who was on...
I don't think you have to say...
Well, I mean, she was looking up at him, you know, supporting herself on her arm. And
okay, and you were the only one in the room that wasn't.
Apparently so. And I think that's what really cranked him. I think that's what really got him angry. And I'd be more than happy. Yes, indeed, more than happy. And try to make this thing up to him if I could. But I can't, so I won't, and I shouldn't. And the cat and the dog...
But what's a cat and dog got to do with it?
Yeah, so the guy had a cat and a dog.
Well, that was a part of the you'll see in the filing, they do not have any pets of any kind. So when he walked into the room and the wife paid attention and I didn't, the cat and dog that were in there, and no one knows how they got in there, I sure as hell didn't bring them in, but they were paying attention to him. And he has since adopted them and notes that they were there.
What has this got to do with anything?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
I'm telling you, the cat and the dog were paying attention to him, and it makes me look worse.
All right, the gentleman is Mark Henshaw. You know Mark from his work with the in support of Donald Trump. Mark, we appreciate very much you being with us. We wish you the very, very best. This is very embarrassing. I will say this. I'm so sorry that this was made public by Mr. Bonron.
Well, no, Margaret, it wasn't.
It wasn't?
I'm afraid, Ms. Gray, I brought this to the attention of your show. I said that Bonron came in on me while I was doing what I was doing. I had to get out in front of the ball.
So you're the one that's gone public with this?
I have to. I got to get out in front of the ball. I don't want this to affect Mr. Trump.
All right, so... Well, I don't know what to think about that.
If you don't want this to affect Trump, then maybe you should have just kept your big mouth shut.
My big mouth shut. I've tried very much to be a polite gentleman.
We understand that, sir.
No, I have, and now you're saying keep my big mouth shut. I got a dog, a cat, I got the woman that I was trying to be attentive to, and I guess it was so boring that as soon as she saw...
All right, Mark, I know you're emotional.
Yeah. Nice guess.
Mark Henshaw, and can we stay in touch with you?
I'll think about it.
Mark Henshaw. Thank you, Mark.
Yes, sir.
And
what do you think about that?
I think it's weird. I don't think he's got any kind of a case.
Well, that's the whole thing. The Terry Bollea, or whatever the name is.
Terry Bollea.
It's not it's Terry Bollea. Not bulimia, not Ebola. Terry Bollea. I mean, Terry
Bollea. I'm sorry, Mr. Henry. It's very difficult.
But we all know that when your head went through that tree and the doctors put the plate in your head, that your intellect was not affected at all. But I think you got smarter. I think you actually got smarter and decided you'd mess with people.
Well.
Oh, so that's it, huh?
No, I didn't.
I think that's what you did. You got so smart, you decided to F with me.
All right. Enough of that stuff. Thank you Terry Bollea. To the extent that that case involving Mr. Henshaw and this guy, Jake Bonron's wife. Do you know this guy, Robert?
Yeah, Jake Bonron's a press guy we've been in touch with.
Yeah, he wanted to get on the air with an interview. And we said, no, we had Mark Henshaw. And he goes, yeah, well, that's the guy that I want to get on the air for the interview. And we go, well, yeah, well, we already have him on the air. He goes, I know, because I'm the guy that booked him. And then I said, no, because...
Mind, bud, okay, do we have a relationship with this guy or not?
We can't find his name anywhere. In any of the Rolodexes, any of the computer, nothing. And then yesterday we found a slip of paper in Bud's lunchbox. It said, call Mr. Bonron pronto.
Yeah.
You know, never mind.
Yeah.
What are you looking at me like that for?
Just never mind.
You'll someday, Bud, you'll know. And when you know, then you'll learn. And when you learn, then you'll know.
What are you talking about? So,
never mind, Bud. Just take it easy, Bud. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com here from the El Pacifico in Southern California. Going to be right back. We got other news items to get to here on the show, including the North Koreans are up at it again, and we got Ted Bell on to talk about that. Ted from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Listen, right now, we're having a little bit of fun on social media. Head over to Facebook, to Twitter, or to Instagram, and tell us your favorite quote from the show, your favorite show line. Probably one of the most famous of all was when Vernon Dozier said, all it takes is the courage to tell your wife to get in there and make me some bean dip.
Well, that was a good one. I thought that was very sexist.
All right. But there are many, many others. Probably R.C. Collins with...
Yeah, I've got chlamydia with R.C. Collins.
Yeah, that was a big one. And there's so many others. We're going to have to compile a list. Well, we have compiled a list from time to time. But if you go over to either Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram and tell us your favorite quote from the show, and then you add this hashtag, World of Phil, you could win a free swag bag. That's right. We've got some Phil Henry swag for you. But we have to enter you in the running. And in order to get entered into the running, go over to either Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook and give us your favorite show line. And then hashtag World of Phil. We're going to send out 5 at the end of this month. 5 swag bags of Phil Henry merchandise from us to you here at the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Margaret Gray, you're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. This house woo! Run out of excuses
for everyone. Rick Santee here. You know, ever since I was a little boy, I wanted to be a rodeo rider. And I finally got my chance at the 16th annual West Cutchinson's Rodeo. That's where we get them horses and Brahma bulls, little tiny goats, anything we can strap on and ride. Love to ride them goats, love to ride those horses, and the Brahma bulls too. That's the West Hutchinson's Rodeo on April the 23rd. I think I've got the dates right. West Hutchinson's Rodeo, April 23rd through the 23rd at the Beverly Hills Rodeo Roundup Corral. That's the Beverly Hills Rodeo Roundup Corral. That's the Beverly Hills Rodeo Drive Rodeo Roundup Corral. Wes Hutchinson's Rodeo on Rodeo Drive. Go.
I recognize your world famous Phil Henry Show, and now Mr. Henry. And
I know. Thank you, Margaret. All right. Everybody else basic. Interesting story. This I don't know how interesting it is, General.
Well, you know something? The North Koreans are trying to hack me off. Not that I'm not taking it personally, understand? But every time I read about these, oh man, these guys are really trying to. I do take that much personally. That they're trying to hack me off and piss me off.
Well. Ted Bell is going to join us here about North Korea's missile testing there.
Hey, everybody, this is Ted Bell, and, you know, I've got a great steakhouse, and I value the great way of life that we have here in America, and I don't want anybody, and I mean anyone, messing with that. Here at Ted's, we believe in good steak and the United States of America.
All right, Ted, good to have you with us, buddy. You and I were talking on the phone. I thought, and just so everybody knows, I thought it would be fun to have Ted on to talk about North Korea and its short-range projectiles, apparently now, Ted, that they are shooting into the, they're shooting them into the East China, what do they call that, the Eastern Sea?
The North Koreans call this the ocean or the sea to the east of them. They call that the Eastern Sea. The Japanese call it the Japanese Sea or the Japan, North Japan. I, to be honest with you, I'm not sure, but I would think it would be called the Japanese Sea. So that's what I'm calling it. Now,
well, you can't really rightfully do that, can you?
For the purposes of our discussion, General, I think that we can. Now, the North Koreans, and the reason Phil is absolutely right, ladies and gentlemen, I am a restaurateur. I'm a man whose sole purpose in life is to entertain, and that is to provide the very delicious steaks, the great sides that we have here at Teddy Beverly Hills, great service, of course, a fantastic bar that we have with Rudy Canosa there in the prime rib room, and we've got great top-of-the-line entertainment. But none of it would be possible if North Korea were allowed to have nuclear warheads that, my understanding is, can now be launched from the North Korean mainland, sail across the northern Pacific Ocean, and land directly in our laps, as our fathers used to say about WW2. So,
What do you mean our fathers used to say about WW2?
Well, you remember Burt Lancaster in Here to Eternity? He said, hey, you'll have Japs in your lap by sundown.
All right, let's not talk that way, okay?
I'm just quoting the movie, you know.
That's right, but, you know, I don't want to have any of that kind of pejorative nationalistic talk, if you don't mind.
What are you talking about, Henry? There's nothing wrong with that.
There's something wrong with that now that the war is long over, that Japan is a very good friend of ours, and it is Japan to whom these missiles seem to be intended, Ted.
Well, North Korea fired 5 short-range projectiles from the country's east coast. And I got to tell you something. It is one thing to read about this news when it's just you or perhaps you and your wife. But let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Those of you with children, you know this to be true. It's another thing entirely. Another thing entirely to have a little boy in your home, as we do with our son Josh, and he wakes up and he stares at you and he says, you know, you can see the look in his eyes, Dad. Am I even going to be here tomorrow? Am I going to be your son, or am I going to be a something that just is irradiated and blown to hell?
Well, that's no way to talk about a child.
No, it's no way to talk about a child. You're right. But that's what North Korea wants to do with my son.
So, Ted, the emotion that you showed on the phone with me earlier, I think this is what we're talking about.
Let me tell you this, and General, I know you can relate to this. I get so angry sometimes in my line of business with my suppliers, with a lot of people that don't pay their bill. I got a lot of people that are on the cuff around here, and I'm not saying you are, Phil, but at one time.
All right, I had a bar tab.
That's right, and I'm not saying that's, you paid it off. You paid it off, as did you, General. Margaret, I think you and Frank...
All right, do we have to get everybody's bar bill out here?
I'm sorry.
That is uncalled for. Frank Gray is good for it, and you know it.
Yeah, you're right. But there are some. I get angry at that. And there was a time in my life, and it was very recent, when I would pick up the paper and I'd search out any news of North Korea violating airspace, launching missiles. When they did that whole computer hack, I would read that, and I would just, yeah.
What is going on with people around here lately?
What are you talking about?
I mean, I've got more people on the show here. I had no idea that this was part and parcel of what it was you were talking about.
Well, look, Ted's under a lot of pressure, but he recognizes that the enjoyment that he got out of these North Korean missiles...
Yeah, that's exactly right, General.
...that was wrong, and he realizes now it's very dangerous. Very dangerous for the country.
Well, let's put it into very succinct terms, okay? Because God knows I don't want anybody to hate me. I want everyone to love me, and I want everyone to understand that what I'm talking about more than anything else in this world, is the ability for us to just breathe. you know, to be able to breathe free air. I don't want to have to pay for the air around here. I want to breathe the air around here, and I want it to be free. And
what are you talking about now?
I don't know. I got thrown off by that guy.
Okay. So, Ted, you, this morning when you were talking to me, you were fearing for your son's life.
I was fearing mostly for my life, and then, yes, in that order, my son and then my wife, Marcy. And
well, isn't that a wonderful thing? I'm sure Marcy wants to hear all about that.
Well, that's not like that.
No, it's Margaret, just ease back, okay? Just go ahead and back away and maybe put some Banaca sprayed in your mouth. Because your attitude is coming off like bad breath right now. I'm not saying you have bad breath.
I should say not.
All right, but I'm saying your attitude is like a blast of bad breath. And I'm trying to tell you what this means to me. Because there was a time when I would look in the paper.
All right, General, have you ever had these feelings?
All right, well, I want to be clear. Hold on. Are you saying that you like seeing North Korea do bad stuff?
Now, that's the question. When they were computer hacking Sony...
Yes, I got enjoyment because I was under a lot of pressure because the business was losing money because I didn't know whether we'd be open for another month. I mean, we had a bad year. I'll go ahead and I'll be honest with you right now. We had a bad year, man. And when I read about North Korea hacking computers and I read about North Korea launching missiles and I read about North Korea, you know, I mean, all I could think of was, oh, yeah, go ahead, hack the computer, hack it, hack it, hack it.
You know something, man, you're...
No, don't start psychoanalyzing me, Phil.
Well, Ted, it's very true. You sound like a man under a lot of pressure, and your problem is not what's going on in North Korea. Your problem is what's going on between your ears.
Exactly, yeah. You got a problem between the ear.
I got a problem between the ear. The only guy who's got the problem between the ear is you, bud, because you really only have one ear. The other ear is made out of plastic. Oh.
No, it's not. He's got a plate in his head. You're thinking of that other guy.
Oh, yeah, the guy that washes dishes at my restaurant. Look.
What the hell are you talking about? Never mind. So now we have these tests, and I think you said something that made me want to get you on the show. And
Now you're rethinking it, huh?
Well, I'd like to get to the point you're making, which I thought was very touching when you said you worried about Josh and the other kids.
I do, Phil. I honestly do. And I think my wife, Marcy, worries about it. I think we all do. That when you think of North Korea with these missiles... And they could trigger a thermonuclear war because they are they're led by an insecure fat kid. Let's face it. Let's be honest about it. And I lend to this problem because I am a restaurateur. If you look at the sun...
Oh, now, come on, Ted. Don't start giving them excuses.
No. Hold on now. Hold on, General.
You know what I'm saying? It's because they got a fat kid running the country?
I'm telling you that as a restaurateur, as a guy that feeds people for a living, Phil, just hear me, okay?
Go ahead.
I'm telling you that I feel responsible for some fat kid.
Because somewhere along the line, someone fed that kid too much food.
That Kim Jong, whatever they call that guy.
That Kim Jong, because of the Chinese word.
What? I had a hang up. You know what? I had a hang up, right?
No, take it easy.
No, I don't want anybody. People making fun of me.
I'm not making fun.
It ain't junk, you dumbass. Kim Jong Soon, something like that.
Oh, what is it?
I don't know, to be honest with you. I got so used to saying Kim Jong-il. I know what it is. It's Kim Il-sung.
No. That's the old man. That's the grandfather. This guy is Kim Soon-il. It doesn't matter. All I know is when I look at the guy, he's a fat, waddling punk kid that if somebody hadn't jammed jelly donuts in his face...
Ted, you cannot blame the fact that you work in the food service business or that there's such a thing as a donut. You can't take it all on your shoulders and say, there wouldn't be these kinds of people if it wasn't for you. Do you know that Hitler was a vegetarian? Do you know that Hitler was quite a healthy living person? He didn't smoke. He did not drink.
No, I know that. I never trust a guy that doesn't drink. That's why that guy Trump gives me the creeps. Even though I throw my support wholeheartedly behind Trump, I got a problem with him not drinking. I really do.
You throw your support behind him wholeheartedly.
I do, yeah. You know?
Well, we're going to talk about Trump, man. We're talking about you and North Korea.
Well, I mean, the whole thing is, in my opinion, the whole thing kind of falls together. But I let me just say this, Phil, and I say this with the greatest of respect and the greatest of dignity, and I hope I give it dignity. I worry for all the children of the world that North Korea has a waddling fat... Excuse me for saying this.
Now, come on.
Oh, hold on.
I think it's very childish.
Hold on. North Korea's got a fat... I'm sorry.
Ted, this morning when you talked about Josh and his future, it was beautiful. That's why I wanted you on the show. Can you kind of end on that thought?
I'll just say, wherever you are, Josh, you know I love you.
What do you mean, wherever he is? You don't know?
I'm never really sure.
Shouldn't he be in school?
He should be, yes. And I have every reason to believe that he is. But if you say, where is he? How do I really know? That's the whole thing. That's what I'm saying.
Get out of here, will you, Bell? Don't you know where your own son is?
I know where my son is. But with North Korea fooling around and some fat, punk, jelly-eating punk.
Jelly-eating?
How do I know that? You know what? That guy that runs North Korea probably just disposes of the donut part and just shovels the jelly part in. That's the kind of slob he is. And that guy is going to be responsible if I come home one day and I see a pair of trainers and sunglasses and the rest is soot and ash, and that's my son.
Uh-huh.
Oh, man. So you think I'm doing jokes here, huh?
No, I don't think you're doing jokes. I just think that you are being overly dramatic.
Yeah, you're way overly dramatic. By the way, your voice just cracked. You went overly dramatic.
Yeah, I heard that, Phil.
Great. I thought you were worried about your son.
Oh, I am, but I just heard you go dramatic. So I think the general had that one right.
All right, Ted, I appreciate the... I appreciate your take on this as a father. I really, really do. And I think it's important that we, I think it's important that we hear from moms and dads about these things.
But I'm getting kicked up here. Is that it?
No, we got to get going.
Yeah, okay. Got to get going. I've never seen a guy with more time in his hand. Oh, here. Come on down here to Tension Beverly Hills. You know, I talk about worrying about my son, whether he's going to be incinerated by a nuclear warhead from North Korea. But hey, you know what? It's all a big laugh on the Henry Show.
No, it is not. That's not right.
Sorry, gotta go.
We want to put our meat in your mouth.
Yeah, that line's gone.
Yeah, Ted, if you're listening, and I know you are, because what he does is he runs into his office and turns on the TuneIn. You know what? That was not a very kind thing to say about us.
Well, he said, you know, that Henry, you know...
I know what he said. I know what he said. But I'll tell you this. I'm not that worried about North Korea incinerating anybody that I love, and God knows they are run by a maniac.
What about the part about the jelly donut?
About the what?
That jelly donut.
There's no fear. Are you trying to tell me that a jelly donut eating...
Well, look at... What are you hitting me? The Twinkie defense? Is that it?
God, Mr. Henry, you go, what are you hitting at me?
I didn't do anything of the sort.
Well, look at the sugar intake. If that fat slob in North Korea... And my understanding is he waddles like that because, oh, Jesus.
Yeah, there's all kinds of problems there.
Why does he waddle?
He's got a hemorrhoid problem.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, I heard that too. Yeah. So that guy is so unhealthy, fat, and disgusting that just the sheer disgust that he wakes up with every morning, it had caused me to push every button on the nuclear panel that I have in front of. That's how tired I'd be of being him. If I were him, I would be so tired of being him, I'd get up, brush my teeth, take a sip of water, walk over to the nuclear panel, and go ahead and let every one of them go.
General.
No, I don't give a damn.
We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
That's the world famous Phil Henry Show to El Pacifico, yeah. Dystopia.
This is Vladimir Richthofen. If you bring your glasses in, I will repair them for you. This is Vladimir Richthofen. You bring your glasses in, I'll repair them for you. Old school, old European quality and technique goes in every pair of glasses. If you're going blind, come on in, bring the Coke bottles in. I fix your glasses. I fix them for a very fair price. Old school, old European craftsmanship right there on the main highway, Superhighway 61, right there in downtown Ingolstadt.
Richthofen's glass repair and glass blowing.
Come on in. I'll blow the glass for you.
Richthofen's glass repair and glass blowing. Never any better.
You must destroy the cancer at its root.
What the hell is this? Is it these guys?
This is Megadeth.
Oh, it's Megadeth, huh? These guys, you know, they're singing all about destroying the devil. And I think somebody ought to drive the devil out of this guy.
Forget it. Hi, world famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Let's go to a phone call here. Going to North LA. Hi. Okay, so we got...
Justin McElroy on the line.
All right, Justin McElroy joining us on the line here on the Phil Hendry Show. Justin, how are you?
Hi, Mr. Henry. I was...
tell me you want to talk about.
Yeah, well, we wanted to clear up the Britney Spears.
Oh, the Britney Spears Photoshop.
Yeah, I wanted to clear that up.
You wanted to clear up what?
Well, first of all, there's this... misapprehension that that we care about Britney Spears. I mean, my generation, we're sort of not. That's past our. We don't care about that.
Right, right. I understand.
But I wanted to mention and talk about the morality of, about that.
All right. Just so everybody knows, Britney Spears. There's a picture of her online, and it looks like she's got a fantastic body, and she's out sunning herself. Where, Margaret?
Oh, I don't know. It's somewhere. Maybe it's Hawaii. But she does. She has a gorgeous body, and people are thinking the head was photoshopped on someone else's body. Now, later on in the video clip that accompanies the story, we see her, and it's obviously her. There's no photoshopping this video, and she has a very strikingly beautiful body. She's lost a lot of weight. I don't know if that indeed is the body.
Margaret,
the body, excuse me, that she has as she lays there on the pool deck. Correct, Justin?
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing. Apparently, she's, you know, not fat, and she's not tub. She's not a tub. But the body that she apparently had her head put on, they say is not her body. I don't know if it is, and I don't know if it isn't. Okay.
Well, she didn't have her head put on it.
Well, I mean, whoever put the head on it.
All right. So what's your point?
Well, my point is that photoshopping your head, photoshopping your head onto another body is a pretty much accepted fact of life among the millennials and younger. It's one of the ways that we're able to communicate when it comes to the dating websites.
But do you say Photoshop? You're talking about what?
I'm talking about putting your head on another body.
Oh, okay. So this is where they
yes, General. They take their heads, or they take a head and they Photoshop it.
Well, they say Photoshop. Why do they call it that?
All right, yeah, it looks really good.
Yeah, there are all kinds of programs for it. All right. Yeah, and then a lot of people are doing it for comedic reasons. I mean, we've done it for laughs. You know.
Well, that isn't quite right, is it?
It's not right if you're really trying to deceive people, but if it's very obviously a joke, it's a joke, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know when you've done it, Mr. Henry.
We've done it as a laugh for different things on our website.
But to do it seriously, you say it's not right.
Well, how do you figure it's right?
Because you're trying to get you're just trying to move the ball forward down the field. If you're trying to get a date on a dating website, one of the popular millennial dating websites is Ogre Teen. And
what is it called?
It's called Ogre Teen.
Ogre Teen? What the hell is that?
Ogre Teen. Yeah, it's Ogre Teen.
Yeah, and
Ogre Teen. All right. We're going to say this 18 million times. What is it, for Christ's sake?
It's a dating site.
Yeah, it's a millennial dating site.
Yeah, and a lot of people that go on to Ogre Teen will take their Photoshop their head onto an appropriate body. Just so you know, I'm like, say, let's say, for instance, I have a good body, but it's not, you know, I'm not ripped or anything. If I slid my head onto a body that was a little bit, you know, had bigger guns, that didn't have such, you know, weak looking arms and stuff, that's the big thing that most guys today are looking for, to have their arms look, you know, unweak.
So they're looking around for some body that's got muscular arms?
No, not muscle arms, but you're looking around for a body that, you know, you don't have some weak, thin, weak-ass looking arms.
Yeah, but the chest, too.
Yeah, and also, like, a concave chest. Because I inherited from my dad sort of a concave chest. So I'm very handsome. I mean, I just am. I know a lot of girls have told me that. But I'm kind of, you know, emo. I got the thin upper body. So I'll go ahead and slip my head onto a maybe just a more buff dude.
Okay, and when the girl finally meets you...
Yeah, this is a good one. This ought to be good, because you can't get away from it. The reality is, when the girl finally sees you, she sees what you're all about.
Well, no, because...
Yeah?
No, because what happens is, you go out on a date with her, okay, and she'll go, oh, wow, and you'll say, yeah, I was sick, I had to lose a lot of weight, but I've got a bulk up, I got a belt up.
Bulk up, bulk.
Yeah, I've got a bulk up for the next competition of my school's weightlifting and wrestling club. And she'll be like, oh, wow, you know, like this happened to me. And I'll go, yeah. And so she'll start to feel sorry for you. And
the next thing you know, that you sexually take advantage of this girl.
Well, I'm not allowed to say on account of I'm underage.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So what you're learning to do here, Justin...
Mr. Henry, we're very comfortable with the modality and the morality of it. And I would rather, you know, not be judged too harshly by it.
Well, hey, look, kid, you're going to be judged.
I would rather that you reserve your judgment for worse crimes, like maybe going out and, blasting a missile off because you're fat and your thighs rub together.
You mean like the North Korean leader?
No, I was talking about just anybody blasting a missile.
What do you mean, blast a missile?
Well, I think you know. Three guesses, the first two to...
All right, thank you very much.
Oh, God.
Well,
now, thank you very much, Justin. Good luck photoshopping your head onto different bodies so that you can get dates with girls and convince them that you're a member of the weightlifting team and that, hey, you know, you're going to have to get your body mass up because your next, you know...
What do you want to just repeat the whole thing back? That doesn't even have to be on the air then. God.
Jesus, you sound like you're going to cry, kid.
Well, why was I even on the air when you're going to repeat everything back?
Throw the hell up, will you?
Yeah, you're...
Vulgarity on these people.
But I don't want to have any more calls slopping over to the end music, okay?
But
I don't want to have any more calls that slop over onto our end music.
But
I'm gonna belt you.
I'm kidding.
World Famous Phil Henry Show is executive produced by Phil Henry for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved on Podcast One. Yeah, yeah, yeah.